every Arizona homeowner's best friend for 30 years.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House.
It's your Saturday morning wake-up call from my house to yours.
Singing the same old cowboy song.
Good morning, y'all.
That's been sung 100 times before.
It's your Saturday morning happy place.
Ain't got nothing but my name. And I'm the only man I know to blame, but I'm living.
What an easy way to wake up.
I'm happy.
You singing today? Maybe not such an easy one.
I'll be easy on the listeners this morning. I'll save you my singing. But I sure hope you're tapping your toe, laying there with the alarm going off, a little bedhead going on, climbing out underneath the sheets. It's our job every Saturday morning to get Arizona homeowners up and going. Good morning. We have got about 10 hours of information packed into a four-hour show this morning. I hope you'll stay tuned and grab every minute of it. It's going to be a blockbuster, and we're always going to start it with a blockbusting guest. And we've got on the line this morning a geologist, and I don't know if I can say this next word right, paleontologist.
I think that's right.
Paleontologist. Yeah. I don't try and handle many six-syllable words very often.
So you got it pronounced right. What is it?
Studies fossils in the ground that
but I
have
thought
been
we were
there.
To
that's your Romy.
Spacecraft.
You know, you don't get anything by Romy.
I know, right?
You don't get.
He always
anything.
Goes to the next level.
You
He's just
never
always
get
spinning
anything.
Those wheels.
So we found a geologist and a paleontologist who works at Lowell Observatory. Let's bring him into the conversation and see how he can explain that background and current position. I want to introduce y'all to Kevin Schlender, the historian for Lowell Observatory. Mr. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. It's great to talk with you guys.
Yeah, so we were just spending a couple minutes running through your background. You want to explain to our listeners how you end up in an observatory with the training you've got?
Well, yeah, that background is a little hazy now because it's been more than a few years. But I grew up in Ohio where there's rocks and fossils lying around everywhere, so that's what I wanted to study in college. So I studied geology over in Ohio and specialized in fossils because I just loved them so much. And so then I worked in Florida for several years at the museum there. And then when I moved to Arizona, I stopped looking down and started looking up because I started working at Lowell Observatory, where we study astronomy, you know, space and planets and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's all science. It's just kind of looking in a different direction.
It's looking in a different direction. And, you know, as a geologist, you can't not want to get to Arizona one way or another sooner or later, right?
Oh, Arizona is a large classroom for geology, but, I shouldn't say classroom. It's more than that. There's so much here. Of course, the Grand Canyon, you know, the Red Rocks of Sedona, there's, you know, all different ages of rocks, lots of fossils, lots of great geologic features that people come here just to take pictures of them, even if you don't know anything about geology. You know, we're all geologists, sort of, because we notice the rocks and the beauty of them.
Just the wonder of it all. And then you set up your tent up on the Coconino Plateau. And you crawl outside your tent and you just roll your hands back behind your head, look up, and the wonder of it all.
And, you know, that's Arizona is so, I can't say unique, but it's certainly one of the things that stands out is not only the beauty of so much of the terrain, but the night skies. We have really dark skies. Flagstaff, back in the day, back in the 1800s when it was first founded, was nicknamed the Skylight City because the brilliance of the stars at night. And then it's kind of a neat thing because that happens to be where Percival Lowell set up his observatory in 1894. And through the years, Flagstaff in the 1950s got the world's first legislation controlling light pollution. And in 2001, Flagstaff was named the first international dark sky city. And Sedona has that designation now in other areas. And so for years, Arizona has not only had these dark skies, but the people living here has recognized that and wants to maintain that for generations to come.
The incredible thing about Lowell Observatory, we have other observatories in Arizona, and you've got to get on a two-lane road, wind your way up long mountains. They're located miles away from cities, and there's Lowell Observatory practically in downtown Flagstaff.
It really is. You know, when Percival Lowell set his observatory up here in 1894, he sent an assistant to Arizona, and he went to Tombstone, Tucson, Tempe, Prescott, different areas. He tested the skies for astronomy, and they ended up in Flagstaff. And at the time, there was no electricity here, dark skies, and it was a great location. And through the years, as the community grew, the observatory has stayed here. You know, now our research telescopes are outside of town, where it's, you know, the skies are even darker. But right in town, Lowell, the historic site where all of our astronomers still, you know, work and our outreach program and everything, yeah, it's a mile west of downtown. And so it's so easy to get to, and it's convenient to where you don't have to devote half a day just to drive to get there. It's just a real easy place to get to. And you know, really great views from up here on what's called Mars Hill.
And it's an incredible learning laboratory. It's a fascinating facility, and we're here highlighting it for the sake of you Arizonans who haven't taken the time to get there. Tell us a little bit about what Percival's objective was of building. I understood one of his interests was finding life.
Right. You know, Percival Lowell, he came from a very wealthy family, one of the Brahmin families of Boston, kind of a leading family in the community. The city of Lowell, Massachusetts is named after his family. His brother was president of Harvard for 24 years. One of his sisters married a relative of Theodore Roosevelt. Another sister was Amy Lowell, the prize-winning poet. And so the family, it was expected you did something really important with your life. And so Percival Lowell, when he was young, after college, he worked at the family business for several years, but he really was kind of a wanderlust and went overseas, spent several years in Korea and Japan, and really was one of the first Westerners to immerse himself in their culture and wrote several books based on these experiences. And that really triggered this kind of passion for exploring, whether it's people or the universe or whatever. And so in the 1890s, when he returned back to the United States, he really got interested in astronomy, something he always had followed. But there was an Italian astronomer who was retiring. His name was Giovanni Schiaparelli. And in 1877, Schiaparelli had detected these features on Mars he called canali, which Lowell and others interpreted to mean something that was not natural. They were so straight, they must have been built by some sort of intelligent life, Lowell thought. And this really excited him. And so that's what ignited him to start his observatory, to search Mars and prove the existence of intelligent life there.
And how?
And of course, he never did find that intelligent life. But what he did was lay the groundwork so much for so much other work. You know, scientists want to prove or disprove his theories. Indirectly, he had a lot to do with science fiction, because you know, people wrote what was hot news items of the time. So you have the H.G. Wells and Edgar Rice Burroughs writing about Martians.
Sure.
And then Lowell started looking for a planet, which he didn't find, but it led to the discovery of Pluto here in Flagstaff in 1930. And so much of what Lowell did, you know, we kind of laugh at some of the ideas of the canals and, you know, Martians walking around or whatever. But what he did was lay this legacy that's much more than he could ever have imagined, I think.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about y'all's outreach program, and I want to give you the opportunity to share with us what you'd like to share. But I'd like to give you a little word quiz here in our final minute before we have to take a little break. What is on your website? I pulled some terms. What is an extragalactic star formation?
Well, extragalactic means in other galaxies outside of our galaxy, and then in a star formation is just stars being formed. So it's a study that astronomers carry out of looking at stars being formed in other galaxies besides the Milky Way. And when you think about that, it's, you know, when we look up at night on dark skies, you can see a couple thousand stars. And all those stars, for the most part, are points of light. Even though they're the size of sun or bigger,
right,
they're points of light. We're looking at distant galaxies that we can't even see with our naked eye and trying to find these points of light and see them being formed. It's remarkable the technology required to see stuff that far away and that small.
You're joining us this morning at Rosie on the House, visiting with Kevin Schlender, the historian for Lowell Observatory. And I don't know that you, Arizona homeowners, are fully aware of all the accomplishments that they've been able to accomplish right there in our own little Flagstaff backyard observatory. When we get back, we'll talk more about that, as well as their outreach program, in particular to junior astronomers and even down to preschoolers. They've got programs for all of them. We'll be right back.